Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, August 10th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. If you've been breathing smoke for the past few weeks, it should come as no surprise that we're in a rough wildfire year. Wyoming Public Radio's Teal Davis has more.
Wyoming is seeing nearly double the amount of wildfires this year compared to 2024. So far, 800 fires have burned more than 42,000 acres. This follows record low snowpack in several parts of the state this past winter. Sheridan County Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Ludekaus says the hot, dry conditions have led to different approaches to this year's wildfire season.
We need to change how we respond to these fires. And as soon as we get a page of a fire, we're going to ask for any of these agencies with water tenders to come out immediately.
Ludekaus cautions people to keep a bucket of water or hose nearby when building a fire or working on projects where sparks may catch on nearby brush or material. He says that people should call their fire department, even if they think a fire is small enough to put out without any additional help. For Wyoming Public Radio and Report for America, I'm Teal Davis.
Amid this weekend's red flag fire warnings, a new fire south of Lander put a large area south of Highway 287 under an evacuation order. The Weiser Knoll fire is estimated to be about 3,000 acres. Johnny Lee's Corner, east through the entire Twin Creek drainage area off Highway 28, is now under a mandatory evacuation order issued last night. The fire was reported yesterday. The latest updates will be on Fremont County, Wyoming's Facebook page. A bit west, the Bear Fire still has the High Lonesome Ranch under an evacuation warning. The Forest Service latest estimates put that fire at around 440 acres. Hot, dry, and windy conditions are still expected for the beginning of the week. Private companies have successfully turned on four small nuclear reactors this summer during tests in Idaho and Utah. It's part of a rollout that could expand nuclear power in coming years. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Merzbach reports, public opinion is split.
A March Gallup poll shows 53% of Americans oppose having a local nuclear plant. But Vicki O'Haro isn't among them. She owns a bar in Atomic City outside of Idaho National Lab, the country's center of nuclear research.
I live 10 miles away, and I'm fine. I'm not glowing in the dark. there's nothing to be scared of.
But nuclear safety experts are worried the Trump administration's fast-tracking of permits could lead to mistakes. The administration sees nuclear as one way to meet rising energy demand. While many Americans don't want a plant in their backyard, polling shows growing support for the U.S. emphasizing nuclear power more broadly. For Wyoming Public Radio and the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Merzbach.
The Wyo Rodeo in Sheridan started a new tradition this summer. As Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports, they're recognizing the most valuable Indian relay racer with a special belt buckle.
Erin Mitchell is the producer of the rodeo documentary film Outriding the Devil, and she came up with the idea of bestowing a belt buckle. She had Montana silversmiths create it with an engraving that reads,
"The Outriding the Devil film production proudly honors Darren Chargestrong, a true cowboy. The official Outriders buckle is a symbol of the Western spirit, grit, and resilience that you, Darren, lives every day."
Absalika tribal member Darren Charges Strong Jr. says it felt unreal to receive the inaugural belt buckle.
"I love Indian relay and I love racing horses. And getting the award, it made me feel like, you know what, it loves me back."
Indian relay racing is sometimes credited as America's first sport. Teams ride bareback around a track and switch horses between laps at full speed. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
After 2 years at the helm of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, Angie Bruce is taking on a new role. Bruce resigned on Friday, and today she starts as the Director of Special Policy Initiatives in Governor Mark Gordon's office. Gordon's term ends in January. Bruce was the first woman to direct Game and Fish. Deputy Director Eric Wilthanger has been named as interim director. Montana regulators have withdrawn a waiver previously granted to an oil pipeline that would run from Canada to Wyoming. The Montana Free Press reports the waiver allowed Bridger Pipeline Expansion LLC to omit certain financial information and baseline environmental data from its Montana permit application. In June, two Montana residents filed a complaint, leading the state to backtrack. Bridger must receive this permit along with federal approval to begin construction of the 650-mile pipeline. The company wants to break ground a year from now in July. At full capacity, the proposed pipeline is expected to move more than 1 million barrels of Canadian crude tar sands oil per day to a terminal hub in Guernsey. And here's Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on August 9, 1903, convicted murderer Tom Horn surrendered in a crowd of bicyclists after escaping briefly from the Cheyenne jail. On August 10, 1912, Congress appropriated $50,000 to establish the National Elk Refuge. On August 11, 1898, Billy Owen and friends climbed to the top of the Grand Teton. They claimed to have been the first, though there has been some disputes about that. And the Gillette News Record reported on August 15, 2003, that the Bluegrass Pyrotechnic Guild was going to shoot off a tribute to the Gillette Camels in recognition of the team's success in state sports and academic competitions. However, the guild, which was from Kentucky, had an interesting connection with the team. In Kentucky's northernmost tip, there's a Campbell County, which has a Campbell County High School. But the twinning doesn't stop there. Campbell County High School's mascot is the Camels, and their colors are purple and gold. Which school am I talking about? To echo the news record, the straw that broke the camel's back is that it's both of them. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Well, it's not all that trivial, but here goes. How many nuclear warheads are based in Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be sure to give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, who was the very first winner of the all-around championship at Cheyenne Frontier Days? South Dakota's Bill McMacken took the overall title in 1944. He and his three brothers were well-known in rodeo circles back then, and they became known as the Four Horsemen of South Dakota. A slightly deeper dive, though, showed that there were earlier winners for the overall as far back as 1939. That year, the first I could find, the final was actually a tie. Paul Carney and Cecil Henley shared the title that year and are listed as the earliest recorded winners of the CFD's all-around championship. Congratulations to Jessica Davis, the first with the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a productive Monday, if possible, and join me again tomorrow.